waving your fingers around very elastic like, but
it worked last time.
It did not this time. Well, Dave, I imagine you're pointing at us because you want us to say that this is Revolution Rock. Wait, no, hold on. Revolution Synth here on CJM 99.1 FM.
Actually, I didn't want you to say that.
Oh, what did you want me to say?
No, I'm just kidding. That was great. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. We're joined, of course, by Adam here, and we're celebrating great use of synth in alternative and punk music. And actually, Adam, we heard a set that Dave had just curated for us, ending with the band The Stranglers. Have you listened to The Stranglers much in your time on this fair world of ours?
In my 34 years, a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll go with a little bit.
So how would you describe their use of synth in their particular songs?
Oh, this is an in-depth question.
Oh, man.
I didn't mean to Charlie Rose you, but...
Yeah, I'm getting grilled pretty hard here.
I apologize.
Well, at least you saved the tough questions for, like, halfway through the show.
Right.
How would I describe their use of synthesizers? Good.
You know what that is? That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Very succinct. I appreciate
that. I think
so, too. Some might say it's nice, because we just heard that song, Nice and Sleazy, coming from their 1978 album, Black and White album. I apologize for that pun segue.
No, that was beautiful. And you know, honestly, I was fishing for someone just to say it sounds sleazy, because it does.
Yeah, and it's kind of a distorted, almost synthesizer, overloaded on that track.
Exactly. You know, I think a lot of these bands we're hearing, there's a very kind of clinical, clean sound to the synthesizers. On Stranglers, it always sounds dirty, a little bit gross, which adds to the texture of their music. Nauseating, some may say, and in the best possible sense of the term.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dave, we did hear Stranglers. Who did we hear before that?
We heard Two Way Army before that, and it comes from the 1979 album Replicas. I mistakenly said it's the album Our Friends Electric. That's the song that's best known from this album that was released as a single.
Mm-hmm.
But we heard another track from this album called Me, I Disconnect From You. And this was another one of those landmark albums that used synthesizers in a way that I don't think was done before.
No, very unprecedented at the time, especially with the amalgamation of it and kind of the British punk sound that was emerging at the time, or really having become fully fledged at that time. Owing a lot to Bowie and Kraftwerk for sure, but I think taking it in a trajectory that would be adapted by other bands thereafter, and even Gary Numan himself as he went on to a solo career.
Yeah, absolutely. And then prior to that, we heard The Devo, as they're called.
Is that the official title of the band?
No.
Devo.
It's The Knot. We heard something from their second full-length album, also from 1979. We heard Strange Pursuit. The album is called Duty Now for the Future, produced by Ken Scott, who is best known for doing a lot of Bowie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, while recording this album, the band disliked the process a lot. And in interviews, had said they disliked the album, but I think... it's still a good album.
I agree. You know, I think they disowned it because of the mechanical sound of it, as they described, but I think that's something that adds to it. You know what's interesting, that Bowie connection? Bowie was lined up to actually be the producer of Devo's debut record, but that didn't pan out due to his recording schedule and other elements, so Brian Eno was brought in to do the production work on that album instead, which apparently Devo went, okay, and accepted it.
Well, yeah. I wonder how it would have been with Bowie in the production.
Sounding like bats in a scary cave.
Perhaps. Before that, we heard music from Subway Sect from their 1978 single, Ambition. The B-side was Nobody Scared. And this song used synthesizers in a really great way, combining it with that punk edge. And for the most part, a positive song there from songwriter Vic Goddard, who would continue on after this as Vic Goddard in the Subway Sect and also as a solo artist. And he still plays and records today.
Well, with that said, let's get into another very optimistic song by Oingo Boingo. Adam, why don't you talk about this song and what we're going to hear in this next set?
Yeah, sure. I handpicked this next set of music. So we are going to kick off with some Oingo Boingo. Definitely one of the more unique bands of this era.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it's like new wave, ska, polka, metal. I don't know. You can just keep going on. But Oingo Boingo, led by probably one of the more well-known composers of the modern era, Danny Elfman, who did the score for a lot of Tim Burton movies, probably all of them, or most of them, I would say.
Probably like 95%. Yeah. Also really known for doing a lot of TV show themes, like the Simpsons theme.
Yeah.
But definitely, if not one of the more prolific soundtrack scorers, definitely one of the highest paid at this point.
So we're going to hear... it's their first EP, and we're going to hear the song Ain't This the Life, and this is a wild song. It sounds like if a bunch of clowns got out of one of those little cars and frantically started trying to change a flat tire. That's what this song sounds like.
But with synthesizers.
With synthesizers.
So instead of a jack, they just like keep pressing like C on the keyboard. Ding, ding, ding.
And it just goes nowhere. It just goes nowhere, and they all start panicking. After that, we are going to hear a song off of my favorite Talking Heads album, Fear of Music. We're going to hear Memories Can't Wait, which... It is from 1979, and I think this song is super ahead of its time. Like, it really doesn't sound like anything else Talking Heads did. It's almost got, like, an early industrial vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a machine malfunctioning, almost. It's a very industrial, agitated sound.
Brian Eno, I think, helped produce this one, too.
This was the second album he produced for Talking Heads, yeah.
It's interesting about this album, also my favorite Talking Heads album, and I think it might also be yours, or one of them.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but I did name an early program I used to do on CJ after
show
this album. So I think we all have a little bit of appreciation of this record.
I just want to mention, when they made this record, actually they recorded it in a loft, and they ran all the wires up from the street from a recording truck and recorded it in the loft in kind of like a rehearsal space fashion. And I don't know if they did any other ones like that, but it was done in a loft in New York in 78, 79.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So after that, we're going to hear some classic Canadian new wave from Rational Youth. And then we will end the next set with an early song from the Boomtown Rats, off of their more poppy punk driven album, A Tonic for the Troops.
All right, so let's get to it. You're tuned into Revolution Synth here on CJAM 99.1 FM, and this is music from Oingo Boingo.
Everything's on. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to Revolution Synth here on CJM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave, joined with Adam and Adam. And it's not confusing at all.
Adam squared, nope.
And we're playing music with synthesizers, all music with synthesizers. We're celebrating the synthesizer for no reason at all. But we did...
I'm pretty sure there's a reason. We love it.
Oh, it's sick.
Yeah.
It is. It's cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we ended up with a set of music that you brought, Adam, ending with Boomtown Rats.
Yes, that's right. We just heard Blind Date by Boomtown Rats, which I don't think that song has any synthesizer in it, but...
I think it did a little.
A little bit, maybe. I don't know.
It's okay, we forgive you.
I'm allowed to break the rule.
Yeah.
You asked me to be here.
I did. So like, you can make up your own rules.
You were the one that had the synth-centric show.
This is true. So I can break my own rules. Whatever.
Really, you're just like, God, more synthesizer.
Yeah, it was just a little breather. But before that, we heard Holiday in Bangkok, some classic Canadian new wave from Rational Youth. And before that was... Talking Heads with Memories Can't Wait. And we should mention Talking Heads will be kind of reuniting this year in some fashion.
In Toronto, of all places.
It's like, you know, it's for a Q&A, correct?
Yes.
Is it the anniversary of Stop Making Sense?
Yeah, they reissued it and they kind of upgraded it.
They'll be doing
quality.
A new screening. Yeah. The Q&A session they're reuniting for, I believe, is being hosted by Spike Lee.
Yes.
So. And it's for TIFF, Toronto International Film Festival. That's a pretty big thing.
Well, I mean, you know, you would think, like, it's just a Q&A, but really getting the four members of Talking Heads together to do anything...
is a thing.
It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure the last time they did anything was probably the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
Which was a long time ago.
A long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they performed at that, so maybe they'll perform at this.
I wouldn't get my hopes up.
Yeah, me either. But
you know, you never know. Maybe they'll be like, "Yeah, we're going on tour, and it'll be $1,000 a ticket." But
like, take my money.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, you know.
But yes, great selection from a really great album. Just that period. There was like a period when, honestly, all the records are quite good. But the first, what is it? First five or six are all like just. So great and so different.
Mm-hmm.
They all have something a little bit different in each one.
All bangers, back to front.
Yep.
And then we started things off, speaking of bangers, Oingo Boingo, we heard something from their debut EP, Ain't This the Life.
Yes, that is right. I love that song. It's one of those songs where you listen to it and go, how did a human brain come up with this? And there's a really incredible performance of that song in this movie that I love called Erg, A Music War.
Oh, which, what a great film, yeah.
Finally, somebody else has seen it. Every single person I mention. Anytime someone comes to my house, I like force them to watch that movie. And even people who aren't really interested in like music from this time end up loving it. You know, if you haven't heard of that movie, try to find it on Amazon or whatever. It's just standalone performances from... basically the exact era we're playing music from today.
Exactly. So many seminal performances there. It's a fantastic documentary.
Yeah.
So, Adam, thank you so much for those selections. Those are amazing. We're going to get into some selections that I picked next. We're going to dive into some more obscure Canadian content. One less obscure artist from Canada, who I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with. But we're going to start off with probably the defining band when it comes to the overarching, how should we say, combination of pop music and synth, Kraftwerk from Germany. We're going to be playing something from The Man Machine. We're going to be getting to that right after this quick commercial reminding you what station you're tuned into.